Welcome, welcome to Paradigm Shifters. I have someone who's not a paradigm shifter, but a paradigm changer joining us today. And strap yourself down because she's going to lift your energy fields like you all beg for, like you all want, and give you some perspective on the future. Welcome, Lavendar.
Oh, thank you so much, Veronica. I'm really pleased to be with you today.
I'm excited. Lavendar has a website called Starseed Hotline. And I was wondering if we could start this show by explaining to people what a starseed means. What does that word mean?
Starseeds are beings that are on the planet at this time, and through their bloodlines and through their soul records are activated into a new evolutionary thought, a new evolutionary program. There's beings off-planet that have been planning these agendas for many, many centuries so that the evolution of the planet would come into a high degree of evolutionary state. Why? Because eventually we need to have commerce with other beings from other planets. So it's bringing the star seeds that are on the planet now into resonant field so that we'll be able to match our star brothers and sisters that live in other galaxies, other spaces. It's all about the evolution of the planet and its people. Starseed is a term that I actually coined back in the early 80s when I started trekking and seeing that these bloodlines and these soul records were intertwined.
Well, how did the starseeds come here? Is it an interaction with other beings out there in the universe, or is it where does the plan emanate?
The plan from me, the way I have been integrated into it, is that I was conceived and brought up to be a hybrid on the planet so that I would be in touch with beings aboard ships throughout different periods of my life. And therefore, I have been given instructions on how to bring back this information and to accelerate the programs by identifying certain energy fields on the planet that will have the new blueprints for the new Age of Reason and for the new kids that are coming. Because back in 1980, when I was really activated into this information, I was told to write things down. It would put me through a series of experiences where I would have high strangeness, things that I couldn't possibly explain, but go write about it and hold it for 25 years. So these examples of things that I have experienced through being off-planet and being here on the planet as a hybrid, those are the stories that I have started to release out of the bank vault. And the first one that I released was called Crack Between the Worlds, which I think you have heard.
I've heard, and I've tried to send it to a number of interested people, but I think a lot of you listening who haven't read it or heard it should check it out, Crack Between the Worlds, because that was a real thought changer for me. It really changed a lot of my limitation on what's possible, you know. It's and it relates to the Integratron, which is still a dimensional shifting building, I guess you'd call it, that's out there. Do you want to say like just a short bit about that, because people can track it on your site?
Well, Crack Between the Worlds is a story that I had to hold in a bank vault, like I said, for 25 years. And it's the story of how I was directed by beings. And they put me in the middle of this experiment. And it started out down at Giant Rock. And I met George Van Tassel, who, of course, built the Integratron, and he's been down for many years. But I would take trips down to see him. And on one particular walk out in the sand dunes one day, he said, "We need to talk," and talk we did. And I was with him for about 3 hours out talking and walking. And so he pointed to this rock, Giant Rock. He said, "You know, when Giant Rock cracks is when you're going to release the light information on the planet." Now, this is back in 1977, okay? So he started talking about walk-ins and Tesla kids and you know, things that I had no knowledge of in those years. And we'd walk for a while, and then he, when he saw that I was like burning up or I had too much information, he'd his hand and put over my third eye, and then it calmed me down, and then he'd tell me more. So he filled me with so much information in 3 hours. I thought I was going to explode.
He was capable of incredible transmissions. Where did he get those?
Well, he had had a lot of ET work, and he had walk-ins coming and going out of him. But see, at that time, I didn't even know what a walk-in was. So it's like, he's talking about walk-ins, and I'm going, what? What's a walk-in?
What's a walk-in? Well, wait a minute. Were you already an intuitive?
I was, but I wasn't. I didn't understand the term walk-ins in 1977. Okay, it was like I was very intuitive, and I had some abilities that were, you know, rising to the top, but nothing like, you know, how I function now.
Wow.
This was at the beginning of my awakening of who I was and what I was here to do.
Had you already been visiting with the aliens or the ETs? I shouldn't call them aliens, the star people.
Yeah, well, it's ETs, it's extraterrestrials. And my ship is the starship Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
If we're to see it in the third dimension, it would be 27 miles long, 7 miles across, and 3.5 miles high. It houses 33 different species, and it comes and goes off this planet at least 4 times a year, maybe more, but at least the first week of January, the first week of July. They come because of the meetings that happen inside the Tetons in Wyoming. And then they come during Pleiadian lineup, which is from May 15th to the 20th and November 15th to the 20th.
So that's conference
time. So
those
are 4 times when they come down. And what happens is they have technologies where they can go over a city. And, you know, like if, you know, we see movies where they're showing satellites and you can see people inside of houses, you know, through their heat emanation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a technology where they can find star seeds.
Oh, wow. How wonderful.
You know how many star seeds are in your town. Yeah. And they'll take a reading from it, and they can tell the evolution of the person because there's a light emanation that happens.
Hmm.
This is a little functional question
I want to ask you. Is it so that this big ship, the Star of Bethlehem, is that what you called it, is screened vibrationally, which is why we don't see it all the time? Is that how it functions in different dimensions? Or
it functions on several dimension levels, but for us, they have, of course, put up a shield where, you know, they're not detected here by any earthlings.
Oh,
unless they want to be.
So practical, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, how exciting. So you got involved with the George Van Tassel and the Integratron right at the beginning of that, right?
Yes.
So tell us.
And I found after that I was experiencing things that were so beyond my immediate comprehension that it took me, you know, several months to acclimate to working with them. You know, there were times when I thought I was losing my mind because, you know, they would try something on me and my brain would whirl, which means I couldn't stop my mind from jumping from picture to picture, in other words. There were times when I'd be aboard ship and I'd say, oh, don't give me my shot. I want to remember this. This is so wonderful. I want to go back and write this. And they'd say, no, you have to have your shots. I'd go, no, I don't want my shots. And so they'd be back without my shots. And there I'd be sitting on the edge of the bed going, blah, blah, boo, boo, because I couldn't function.
So what's the shot? Tell me about the shot.
Oh, yeah. So the next time I went up, of course, they came and fixed me. But then from now on, and ever since then, when I'm aboard ship and I put my thumbs out and say, I want my shots. I'm not going through that again. Some people want to go, oh, I want to remember being aboard ship. No, you don't want to remember. I'm here to say that you could not function here and do what you need to do if your consciousness was stuck at that level of high velocity. It's very hard to function here.
So,
and I get that a lot from clients, from people, oh, please, I want to remember. If I remember, that means it's real. Well, it's real whether you remember or not, because that's just the way it is.
Fascinating. So Let me see. I want to go in about 5,000 different directions. So maybe you've taken me into the ship. I don't know. But is this all part of the shift, Lavendar? What you're talking about, and all
yes, they started, created the shift.
Pardon me? Go ahead.
They created the shift.
Oh.
The terrestrials are in charge of the shift.
So you mean they created it so our mind would be expecting it, or is the shift actually the awakening in us to hold higher frequencies, as you said, a higher velocity?
That's true, too, but we actually plan this.
Okay.
We are seeds, we light workers, walk-ins. There are millions and millions of people that are going to rise up on this planet and be responsible for laying down the new blueprint, the new earth. It's like the old paradigm, the old Illuminati group. They're going away, and it's not that we're going to change them. We're simply you can't change what's they made the mess, and they don't even want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like something else has to come to replace what they have done in the past. It's called laying down a whole new program.
And is this a return to the failure we had at Atlantis, at the end of Atlantis? Is this a return to that so we can do a better job?
Yes, because the Starseed DNA has been programmed now to rise up and take responsibility for technologies, especially the world arrays, the ones that can possibly, you know, go into a destructive pattern. So there are so many backup systems now on the planet to ensure that we never have another Atlantis. And we're not going to have any atomic bomb things happen either. The beings that are in charge of protecting those areas, I mean, it's constant. 24 hours a day, everything's being monitored about atomic power on this planet.
Hmm. Yeah, we saw there was a very brief news clip with Larry King Live one time of a missile being shot off and being intercepted by a UFO. Did you see that?
Yes.
I loved it, but it was gone. Then you couldn't find it, could you?
I know. I'll tell you something that happened that the news let happen once and then you never saw it again. There was a time when Gorbachev went missing for about 14 days.
Oh.
Let me think what year that was.
60s or? I can't remember when.
91, I think it was.
Oh.
And as he was coming down the walkway off the airplane, the news people said, "Where have you been? Why have you been missing?" And he said, "I've been with the Pleiadians."
I didn't see that. Did you see that on the?
Saw it on the news. Of course, I didn't have a DVR then. I couldn't run it back and play again. But he said the Pleiadians, and I was like, "What?" And then later on, I was actually shown a story about a female Pleiadian cosmonaut that spent time with him, and I was given that story. It was kind of an interesting thing for me to be able to witness him stepping on the airplane, saying, "I've been with the Pleiadians."
Oh my gosh. So tell me about these beings in the Star of Bethlehem, the big ship, or there are other big ships as well. Is there?
There's other big ships, of course, but Pleiadians don't have the, you know, only ships to come, but the Pleiadians have it's their agenda. It's like every species takes their turn in certain agendas on the planet, so we're kind of under a Pleiadian agenda at this time.
Were we not an experiment from their source, or theirs and Syrians and so on? Were we not seeded by them?
Yes, we have been seeded by several species.
Mm-hmm.
Syrians, Vagans, Lyrans, Pleiadians, Arcturians, the Antares, Arcturus. Midway Station is a place where a lot of the ships come and dock before they come into our atmosphere. You know, when you watch Star Trek, that's just pretty much the way it is.
Wow.
You know?
And so they actually protect us from the full destruction we could have, but is it true also that we aren't really allowed to go out and travel through dimensions until we get more of our act together, till we raise in consciousness? Is that right?
There are some beings that are, some star seeds are allowed to do certain things at this time, but as far as earthlings and the masses, we're not allowed to do anything out in space until we do get our act together. I mean, when was the last time that Earth was ever asked to do anything to fix anything in the universe? Never. Okay? Mm-hmm. We've never been asked to fix anything out there. And the reason for that is we have not developed to the place where we can drop war, we can drop the things that are, you know, binding us down into the down spiral of reincarnation patterns. Yeah.
But will we break out of reincarnation patterns, do you think? Well, I guess that's
eventually
not a fair
we will.
Question.
Hmm? Eventually we will. That's the evolutionary pattern it's set forth.
Well, now you have a lot of information about crystals and about the information that's encoded on our beautiful planet. Would you like to talk about that kind of thing, what you've learned and how it's working? Like, are the pyramids encoded and are they truly receiving information from the Pleiades and Sirius and I think Orion?
Well, just let me talk to you a little bit about my Giza crystals.
Okay. Good.
In 1983, I was asked to go to Cairo, Egypt, to be there on Pleiadian lineup on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of November.
Mm-hmm.
I was told to have a diver go to the Jeffrey Mine and go underwater. He had to dive about 80 feet to find these little tiny hair-like crystals. And I bought about 40, I guess it was about 40 pounds of them. That was a lot because they're so tiny. They were taken to the pyramids. I was given Mahmoud, a man that helped me secure the pyramids for two nights, took them into the queen's chamber, and he left them there. And I didn't know at the time what was being done to them, but later I was told that the Pleiadians, they started putting frequencies in these tiny crystals that would hold a balancing beam between man and nature. So when I said, well, how powerful are these crystals? They said, well, you have nothing on your planet to measure them with. So I brought them back, and I started distributing them around the world. And I would get these letters from people that would say, you know, I was awake in the middle of the night. A voice told me I needed to take these crystals and plant them in these areas. And two stories in particular that I want to share, that they made a very big statement about waking up 100 people and having them get on airplanes and fly to Australia and take a crystal and put it around Ayers Rock.
Hmm.
And when I started receiving these letters from these people that had done this to Australia, I thought, what in the world are they about to do with crystals? What's going to happen to Ayers Rock? And all these years I've been going, it's a big demonstration, but I just don't know what it is. So a few years ago, I found out they opened a pyramid in a tomb in Egypt that had a symbol, and the symbol meant time travel. And the same symbol is painted on top of Ayers Rock. So I thought, maybe they're going to levitate Ayers Rock. Maybe it's a huge demonstration. It hasn't been explain to me what's happening with that particular experiment. Another one was about a woman who was awakened and says, fly to Bolivia, go out over Lake Titicaca, rent an airplane, have the pilot open the door, throw these crystals out at the exact spot that we tell you. And so she did, and she said that she was sitting behind the pilot, and she asked him to open the door, and I can't open more. And she said she was peeling an apple, and this knife just went right up to his throat, and she says, open the door now.
Oh.
He throws him out, closes the door, then she goes, now I'm going to jail. She goes, I'm going to be arrested. He lands the plane, had no memory of her doing that.
Hmm.
So through the years, I've collected a lot of stories about what happens with people and these Giza crystals. Well, the man that I was with, when I would send him to the post office to mail them out to people, he would take some out, and I didn't know that. So after he died many years later, his daughter brought me this box, And here were 10 pounds of these Giza crystals. And I went, oh no, my assignment wasn't completed. But now I realize, after all these years later, the people with these starseed codes in their charts and the clients that I have, mm-hmm. they need these crystals. And it's helping them to experience whatever they're needing to experience so they can evolve. So that's my story about the Giza crystals.
Oh my gosh, that's really, really touching. It's very impressive, isn't it? You know what impresses me is that people have enough confidence to hear that message and get up and take a plane to Bolivia and open a door. I mean, that's a really confident response, and I suppose it's energized through them, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it.
That's a great deal of faith.
I know.
So I would like to know a little more about your personal background. Oh, and I want to say one thing about the crack between the worlds, which talks about giant rock breaking, and that's the crack and all the incredible altered states that went on with it. When several of us listening to, all in separate places, listening to the tape of Crack in the World, or the CD or whatever it's called, the recording, I blanked right out at certain times, and I had to go back in and re-listen, and I laughed at myself, but I keep hearing that from people. I just blanked out certain points. Isn't that interesting? Is that protection or overload or needing to space out, or what would you say that is?
You know, I've had a lot of response, exactly what you just said. That's why we put on our website, when you hear this, please do not drive your car and listen to this. Because it can take you out. It can take you, you know, something happens at another level of consciousness that you're being fed, and the downloads are happening as you listen to this. Mm. If you're a starseed, if you're a person on the planet that put your hand up saying, I want to be here for the big event, mm-hmm. then when you listen to Crack Between the Worlds, you'll start receiving a lot of downloads while you're listening, or even after you listen. Mm-hmm. It comes in many different ways.
That's
now,
wonderful.
Now, there's some people that can't listen to it at all.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
You know, I couldn't listen to that last year, but now I can listen to it because they weren't ready to receive the downloads that would happen once they listened to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, one more thing I'd like to say about giant rock is that recently I was at the Integratron and went wandering around giant rock, took pictures and all that, and it was pretty impressive. And that was before I had encountered your material. So then I went again with a mutual friend of ours, and I couldn't find it because guess what, Lavendar? It looks different. It looks totally different. The shape, everything looks different, and the placement amongst rocks. So what's that?
It is different. It does not hold the same energies as when I was there before. The last time I was at Giant Rock, I was kind of taken back because it looked like something had come along with like some kind of vacuum cleaner and had pulled all the energy out of the rocks.
Oh.
I was very alarmed.
Oh, well, I was only there a month earlier. And in that month, they were very, very smooth rocks. And then when I went back, there were like cracks all around the outside. Now, the graffiti was still there and all that. But there were cracks all around the outside, and they looked slightly different. I'm still scratching my head over that. They looked different in how they were placed on the planet. So I said, huh, were they moved? Everybody laughed. But part of me goes, maybe, you know?
Yeah, you know, I haven't been there in a long time, and I haven't really looked into it. But the kind of things that have happened there in the past, the things that I know that are possible for the future, there's no telling.
Isn't that fascinating, eh?
Yeah, it's a place of high experimentation, no doubt about that.
How exciting. So I want to know about your life now. Because you are so incredibly gifted and aligned with the multidimensional and visiting on the ships and so on, has that made your life a whole lot easier?
Easier? No.
But that's interesting too. So is there still karma when you have this kind of relationship to life, you know?
is there still karma?
What I mean is, are you living through lessons? Are you living through past experiences that you need to complete? Are you living through challenges to build your soul muscles? Or how would you explain it?
I think that the first, how do I answer that? I realize now that the way I function, it's not about learning anything. It's about playing my part and experiencing. I choose to experience things. I don't choose to learn things. It's like I don't come from a learning position.
Mm.
It's like I come from a place where I'm going. I choose to experience that because I have masterships in it. I've looked at my records. I know I can go do that now.
Mm-hmm.
From that kind of, but at first I didn't have that. Back when I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and starting to, you know, be awakened to reincarnation and to different experiences, and I met this man, and the day I had actually talked to him, I'd been trying to get him to meet with me because I was a sales manager for a radio station, and he was a client. He worked for Whirlpool, and he kept canceling. He wouldn't meet with me. So finally, I walked into this place where everybody, all the ad people, would meet. When I look at Mad Men today on TV, I go, yeah, that's the kind of things that happen during my time.
I'll have to watch that.
So he walked in the door, and he heard I was there, and he walked over to me, and he said, okay, I'm here. The minute I heard your name, I was lost because I loved you from another lifetime. I know I still love you now. And he said, I am so afraid of you. And I went, what? So he sat down and started drinking white Russians. And after a while, I thought, you know, I've just got to get up, because he started talking about lifetimes together and this very strange talk. And I went out and I got in my car, and I had a little bitty car. I can't remember now what it was, but I remember thinking, boy, when I get in this car, I just got to get myself home, and then I've got to leave town. That was my thought. I have got to get away from this. This is just so much for me. I stepped in the car.
But you weren't afraid, were you? You were just, like, challenged. Is that right?
Freaked out.
Yeah.
Totally freaked out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I'd just been studying about reincarnation, and, you know, and I was just into that. So, like someone had written in my car that there was fog on my window. And it was written with like a finger, you'll have this man for 3 years or more. And it was February 12th, 1972. Well, this was in 3 years before that. So
69.
I thought, oh, so I went home. I drove down 5 blocks to my apartment. I went and I called my boss and I said, I want you to send me to Las Vegas to do that job that you asked me to do last week. I'm ready to go now. And so when I got back from that trip, I thought, okay, everything will be different. Well, I fell deeply in love with this man, and to make a long story short, we were to be married on the 27th of March. And when February 12th came along and he didn't die, I thought, somebody was just tricking me. Well, he died the next month. It was on my wedding day.
Oh, my word.
And I took a very bad turn. I got very despondent, didn't want to live, drank a lot. Jack Daniels and I became best friends. And but then eventually I was led to go to California to study with the Academy of Atlantis, which taught astrology. And I was looking for what happened to him after he died. I wanted to know. Because after he died, he came to me and would do crazy things. Like if I had a date with someone out, he'd pick up their coffee cup and throw it in their lap. Or if I took somebody home with me, he would throw the shampoo bottle at them in the shower.
Was he jealous?
Yeah, fellas. were grabbing their clothes, stark naked, and running out of my apartment. It was crazy in those days. So one day, he came to me and he said, how'd you like to hear some song on a certain radio station? And I went, okay. And so we started playing radio. So I had a friend, and I went by and I said, call your office, you're going to be late for work. And I had a bottle of brandy there, and I said, get in the car, we're going to play a game called radio. I said, what would you like to hear? And she'd tell me, and I'd go to that station, and of course, in the very next song, it would play. So he was thought adjusting the DJs to play these songs. So we drove around for like 2.5 hours drinking brandy and playing radio, and I can tell you we got pretty tanked after that. But when I got to California, he came to me one day and he said, your friend's in trouble. You better call her. But I'm leaving now. I'm going back in body, and this will be the last time that you will have a communication from me. Well, I just dropped to my knees. I started crying because I'd been kind of dependent on him being around. And that's when I realized that I had to let him go and that my next adventure was to keep studying, keep doing the metaphysical training that I was into at that time. And that's what kind of launched me into the work. So from there, I went to Las Vegas. From Las Vegas, I started having these ET encounters into Giant Rock and then to traveling the world to sacred sites and doing the work that I do.
Oh, my. And the work that you do is helping people decipher the purpose of their soul seed existence and what their long-term goals are and what the community is doing. Is that it? And vibrationally
healing? I found in an astrological chart that there were markings that showed star seeds. It showed people that were here on the planet with these star seed DNA abilities. And once I started tracking, it was 25, 26, and 27 of any sign, okay, of any sign. And when I was traveling, I would carry a little ephemeris with me, and I'd ask people their birth dates. And I'd look them up, and I'd write them down, and I'd go, oh, this person has that, this person has that. Whether they were taxi cab drivers, chefs, people on airplanes, everywhere I went for 3.5 years, I was just so blown away because I thought, surely everybody doesn't have this. But what was happening to me, they were placing me in situations where that's the only people I would find. In fact, on one particular day, I was in this restaurant. There were 75 people in there, and I thought, I've got my tablet. I stood up and made an announcement. I said, I really would like to ask everyone to write down their name and their birth information. I'm doing a survey, and if you would do this, I'd really appreciate it. Well, it took some time for everybody to do it. So I took the information back to my room. I started looking at it, and I went, no, how does this happen? Every person in that restaurant had these markings. So when you think about it, it's 360 degrees in a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only 3 chances out of each 30-degree sign that this can happen.
Hmm.
So it's the astrological, calculations of this is over the top.
So is this the law of attraction in multidimensional?
Yeah, it was huge.
Wow.
And so after I went to Cairo and did this really high assignment in 1983, when I was coming back on the airplane, I thought, well, I'll keep asking people birth dates. It was over. It didn't happen anymore after that. Done.
Yeah. Is that ever amazing? And also, I'm thinking, well, we have these wonderful ETs out there, and they are helping, what would you call it, using, they're helping us move our minds to a higher level, am I right? But I sort of feel like, are we puppets? Are we?
Well, sometimes I've thought of us as being puppets, but then I realized that when we were aboard ship, we planned this.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave them directives to help us down here.
Mm-hmm. So they can't take
charge.
They're
down here, and when we're up there, they're down here. I mean, we switch off
through
evolutionary patterns.
So they're like our higher selves in a way, that they have a greater perspective and they can help us vibrate into a different level of self. Is that right?
Our higher minds, if we're starseed and our higher minds are activated into why we came to the planet, then they give us assistance to help us complete our mission.
Hmm.
But we have to come to the place where we go, do I have a mission? And what is it? And how can I be of service? And how can I find the soulmates that I lived, loved, and died with so many lifetimes ago? Those are some of the things that starts happening with these starseed charts that I see.
Hmm. I want that too. Do you think we starseeds are, I'm counting myself here because you've helped me see that, but do you think that we're connecting better in terms of a starseed community consciousness? Are we going to support each other more and more? It's been kind of a struggle, hasn't it?
You know, 5 years ago, when we first started starseedhotline.com, you could type in starseed and hardly anything would come up on Google. You type in starseed now, page after page after page. Why? They're awake. They know who they are. They're putting star seeds in their websites, and they're calling their people.
Yay!
And they're
so what you're saying is it's time.
It's time.
Wow.
You know, the December 20th, 2012 activation, it wasn't so much about the Mayans and their calendar as it was what I've been tracking, the evolutionary pattern of the star seeds that are awake on the planet, and they're jumping to their upgrades. Everybody's getting upgrades ever so often, and people are quitting their jobs, they're moving, they're divorcing their mates, they're traveling, they're doing all kinds of things now on the planet that they never thought they would do, you know, 2 years ago. It's like a whole new way of activating an entire planet. It's like the star seeds are awake. The bloodline is running on the planet that's going to help alleviate any of the problems that may arise later with the technologies that we have. So
we can even alleviate atmospheric problems, can't we? We can even do things about the drought and other water shortages, can we not?
There are technologies that can take care of that. Whether or not our government allows those technologies to be used or not, I'm not sure.
All right, so now I know this, that you're going to take people on, I'm not responding to that because I want to think about it, but you're going to take people on crystal tour, is that right?
We have something called the Starseed Crystal Quest. And only the people that have these star markings in their charts are invited to come. And what happens, it happens at Mount Ida, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And we take about, anywhere from 20 or 27 people. And during this week, people will be able to share with each other their experiences. See, a lot of people are so afraid to speak about these subject matters, because they've been ostracized or criticized all their life for being different. And this gives them an opportunity to come and find other people like themselves. And what we're finding is that the soul groups are responding. So when the people show up, they're so elated to find one another.
Uh-huh.
About coming and sitting at my feet or letting me, you know, teach from that position. No, it's about the experiences that we all have when we're together for a week. We go on these. We go dig for crystals. We go into the Quapaw spa and take hot baths and massages. And it's a different kind of retreat. Everything happens at so many different levels, and we have so many extraterrestrial beings that will show up and do certain things at certain times for the group.
Hmm.
Now, one particular example that we had, 11 of them were standing out waiting for their van to pick them up, and the van kept going by them. And the van would call us and say, "Why aren't the girls getting on the van?" And the girls were calling us saying, "Well, why isn't the van stopping?" It's because they were invisible and he couldn't see them. They stood there and vibrated at such a high rate of vibration that they were invisible.
Wow.
Yeah, that was that happened on our very first quest that we had.
How long have you been running these?
We do them twice a year. We do them in May on Pleiadian lineup, and we don't do them in November on Pleiadian lineup. We do like a 3-day weekend in November, but in October, in the fall, we do these trips.
Well, so now here's another question for you. You know, if crystals can be programmed, obviously you spoke of the Giza ones. Are there a lot more crystal programmings going on multidimensionally all over the world now? Is the world being seeded that way?
Well, think of this. Inside of our planet is a crystal grid.
Okay.
It's a crystal grid. Mm-hmm. It's made out of quartz, and it vibrates, and it has different codes that are related at different times. Then think of the other planets. They have crystal grids. So the common denominator between the planets in our solar system is quartz crystal. So the vibratory rate of quartz is an upliftment and a program for evolution. So at different places around the planet, especially at these 33-gem power points, there are quartz crystals that are vibrating with the codes that have been set there by ETs and by other star seeds and people that are crystal workers. And yes, there are many, many crystal workers all over the planet.
Hmm.
And they just woke up one day and they said, I'm a crystal worker. This is what I do. And I get letters from them. I get phone calls from them. And it was when I first started distributing the Giza crystals that I found out about this.
Wow. How exciting. So the ETs are actually, does the crystal grid need to be, I sound ignorant because I guess I am on this level, but does the crystal grid need to be reprogrammed regularly in order to help heal the planet, help us evolve? Does it need to be reprogrammed, and are we emissaries of that, or are they the ones who do it, or
All the above. Mm-hmm. All the above. It's a gigantic crystal happening. It's like it happens on so many different levels. I don't really know how to answer that with just a straight. It's like so much goes on at the power points, with the Giza crystals, with the crystals that have been mined, have been placed in different. It's all about the evolution. It's all about a step up. It's not about a step down. It's not about destruction. It's about empowerment and going forward so that we can match the frequency of other planets. That's the goal.
And is our frequency raising? It often feels like everything's going faster. And I often believe that our frequency is going up massively as well as singularly.
Yeah, it is faster. And think of this. In your brain, silica.
Uh-huh.
If you sit in front of a computer, if you're on a cell phone a lot, it's burning the silica out of your body. You need to replenish yourself with that. Silica is quartz. You see, the computers and phones, they need quartz to be a communicator. Well, when we communicate, we need plenty of silica in our brains. So if we sit in front of computers and use cell phones, then that means that we're depleted in our silica. That means we have to replenish. And this is one of the best kept secrets on the planet right now, is people don't know what these technologies are doing to the silica in our body.
Mm.
So if you eat strawberries, watermelon, oatmeal, and a lot of it, then you're replenishing yourself with silica. If you're burned out, then you need to go to the health food store and get your supply of silica.
Okay. And now another question that's kind of fun is, can you talk a little bit about time? You've had experiences. I've listened to some of your wonderful material on Starseed. What's your site again? I know what it is, but my mind's going blank because I'm spinning.
It's StarseedHotline.com, but our radio show is on blogtalkradio.com/StarSeed-Radio-Academy.
And you have wonderful, wonderful archives there, wonderful interviews, and some on your site as well. But I remember there was some reference to time changing, and suddenly there was an absolute shift in time. Can you talk about that? Do you remember that? One of them is about a watch that was running backward. Have you had any more of that kind of experience?
Okay, let me think how to address this.
I hope it's not a trick question. I'm just very interested in time and how we use it as a linchpin or as an organizing energy. And many say we can go through it and change it and make it plastic or make it very movable. And I wondered if you could play with that.
Let me give you an example of what I've discovered about time. Like when the Teton meetings happened in the mountain in Wyoming, and you're taken inside the mountain. They'll take you out of your body. They'll leave an energy running in your body so that, you know, you will not die while they take you out. And they'll put you through an emerald computer where everyone can see you. But it's 2 weeks there, but it's only 45 minutes here.
Oh, that's easy to understand. Not really.
Okay. It's a very hard question to answer because of, it's like they have colors aboard ship, but I can't come back and tell you what the colors are because there's no way I can describe it to you.
Mm.
Same thing with time. It's real hard to describe. I just know that 45 minutes here is 2 weeks there.
Wow. That makes my whole being pause. Would you say you're functioning more in the fifth dimension? Are these shifts more a response to being in a different dimensional realm? I guess is the better way to put it.
Well, my body is third dimensional.
Okay.
But I have that runs, you know, like you have a lymphatic system that runs, you know, next to your blood.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a galactic system that runs on the outside of that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So when that's turned on, then that makes it possible for me to work in other dimensions.
You have a double pineal, is that right?
I have a double pineal. In fact, when I was going to school at the Academy of Atlantis and I was living in Venice Beach, I was getting headaches. And I thought, gosh, what is going on with me? And so they went and they, you know, looked at my head and said, oh, you've got a tumor on your pineal. We're going to have to take that off. And I went, oh, no, you're not doing, not doing anything like that. And that's when I found out that I had a double pineal. Because later, the lady that I was working with, she's the first one that told me. And then years later, then I had other beings tell me. And I was designed that way. That way they could come and go through my second pineal and I could live in the other. So it's a coexistence that I have with them. In other words, when they come, I don't blank out. I don't go to anywhere else. I don't turn my body over to them.
Mm-hmm.
The agreement is I stay present when they come and do the work, and we do the work together.
I like that.
Agreement. No, I do not surrender to any being to take my body over and do as they please. Oh, no. I draw the line.
But when it comes to walk-ins, is there a contract with a person who dies and allows someone to, you know what I mean? Have they prearranged that contract that he would die at this point?
Mm-hmm. There's many different kinds of walk-ins.
Okay.
There's not just one walk-in formula. There's so many different kinds of walk-in. Lately, I've been calling them drop-bys. And the reason I call them drop-bys is sometimes I'll be talking along and all of a sudden this energy comes down and I speak and then in 10 minutes it's gone. I go, oh, I had a drop-by. You know, it's like that kind of hand-in-glove information that comes when your higher mind and you're really attuned to a higher force at that moment and you're in agreement with it, okay? But the walk-in programs, they, you know, the first time I ever heard walk-ins was from George Van Tassel.
Oh, really?
In 1977. And it wasn't until 1980 or 81 that I read Ruth Montgomery's books, and she mentioned walk-ins. And I didn't really know a whole lot about it then, but then when my training started, they actually put me on the front lines of teaching me about how walk-ins, they come and how they go and what their purpose is.
Hmm.
So I had, it's like I've got a PhD now in walk-ins.
Well, are there lots and lots and lots? You seem to indicate that there's a ton of them out there. Has it always been that way?
They have done these kinds of experiments with before. Yeah, this is nothing new, by the way.
Hmm.
They've done this before. When they get ready to evolve a planet and its people, they use these procedures.
Hmm.
And some people will, they'll say, oh, I've lost my contract, take my body, I've married the wrong woman, I've lived in the wrong place, I came here to do something, I want out. Wah! And you know what? A being will come and say, okay, I'll take over your karma with your family, and in 3 years, then I'll get to do my work. And that's one of the things that can happen. Then there's temporary walk-ins where people will get one for like 6 months, and they'll just attach. They won't take the person, you know, totally over. There's all kinds of different walk-ins.
So it's like you're struggling away in a sweater that could get too tight, two people, right? Well, here's another thing about being then, which is to me kind of relevant. Do you think we're kind of capable of saying, okay, I would like to leave, and then you just die, you just rise out of your body and leave, instead of going through some of the grueling passages people go through?
Yeah, I think, yes, that's happened on several occasions. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, we're such an infinite possibility. And George Van Tassel must have been quite attuned when he was young, do you think?
You know, I don't really know much about his earlier years, but I would like to share what happened when I came back from the walk with him.
Mm-hmm.
I came back and I went to lay down because I was just, I could hardly put a sentence together. And I slept for, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 hours. Woke up about midnight and everybody was looking for George. He hadn't come back from the walk. And they got their flashlights out. They went out and looked for him. And after, I don't know, a couple of hours, about 2 in the morning or so, here comes George walking in. He goes over to each person, and with his finger, he touches them on their forehead, which erases the very fact that he's even been missing, okay?
Oh, my.
He is giving me a demonstration of a walk-in, but I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it at that moment, but he was the person that I walked out on the sands with was one person. The person that walked in was a different person. It was a different walk-in, because in a month from that moment and time, he actually died, and his wife, Doris, actually told me that when he came back from that walk, it was not the George that I had married. It was someone else.
So his last month, he chose to be a walk-in, right?
Yeah. To give that demonstration. Yeah, it was huge for me.
Wow. Well, it's huge for me right now. We have to end this shortly. As much as I hate to let you go, so I would love to invite you back on at some point. And I wonder if you would have like a little, like a breathing or a meditation technique that you can just throw at the folks out there, who I'm sure are eager to be active participants as starseeds.
Well, the Pleiadians gave me a breathing technique where you think of purple coming into your lungs, and then you think of cobalt blue coming out of your mouth. It's like purple in and blue out, and do this 3 times. And they call it cosmic Windex because it just cleans your glasses. It activates your latent starseed DNA in your body. You know, the scientists, they go, that's just junk DNA. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's starseed DNA, and it's rising all over the planet. And when people start breathing purple in and blue out 3 times, whether they're driving down the street, whether they're going into meditation, it just takes your silica, your brain, to the next level of activation. We did have someone recently that was in an accident, put in a coma, and several star seeds went over the body, standing there breathing purple in and out. And when the person did wake up, the whites of their eyes were purple.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Wow, isn't that interesting, eh?
There's really something to this purple in and blue out breathing technique. It's simple, but it's so timely. It's a simple thing that everyone can do that thinks they're starseed. Even if you're not starseed and do it, I think that there's going to be some kind of evolutionary move that will happen when you do it.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, Lavendar, you have been so informative and so inspiring. And give everybody your how they could find you again one more time.
All right, it's starseedhotline.com, and our radio show is blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. I do sessions. I do hour sessions. I also do solar return sessions, helping people understand their 10 hours of power for the coming year. But I must say that I stay about 2 months booked. I'm taking appointments now in the middle of June, and just wanted to let anyone know that if you're wanting to have a session with me, there is a little waiting period.
Wonderful. Worth waiting for, I would say. Well, thank you so much, and many, many blessings and much love to you for all you've done so far, and I know you're just going to keep going, huh?
Yes, I will.
Thank
you. In fact, I'm going to be working on the book Crack Between the Worlds, and we're doing a movie called Crack Between the Worlds.
Wonderful. Oh, I can hardly wait. Are you
going
to be in it, Lavendar?
No, I will not be in it. Not that I know of.
I guess that's a whole question in itself. Thank you so much for your time and your heart, and we'll talk again.
And thank you for what you do, because I know you're someone that's come to the planet to do this work, and I really honor you for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.